Blog Talk Radio.
Around the world, the spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast, but here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. We'd like to welcome you again to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. We greet you in Christ's name. I trust today that you've been walking in faith, not in sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7, Paul said, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Regretfully, too many people walk by what they see. And if you do that, it certainly will not take you long to become profoundly and profusely discouraged with your circumstance and with your situations. But we rejoice that we have faith in God. You see, the Bible is clear. We must have faith in God. Hebrews 11 and 6, "For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And then in Romans 12 and 3, Paul said, "God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Some people say, "I don't have any faith." Well, that's not true. God has already given you a measure of faith. As you begin to exercise that faith, then that measure grows. It gets larger. And you begin to believe God for even greater things than you have in time past. So rejoice in that God has given you the measure of faith. I don't know how much that is, but it's a measure. I don't know the implement or instrument that we would measure it by. But I do know, according to the scripture, God has given to every man the measure of faith. And so I encourage you to exercise that measure. And as that measure grows, and we trust it grows exponentially, you'll see God do many, many things in your heart and in your life. Amen. We want to go back today. Without any further ado, we want to pick up in 2 Timothy chapter 2. We shared with you yesterday the need to study the Word of God. This will be part 2 of that program, continuation from yesterday. But you do need to study. And so in verse 15, Paul said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We're going to pick it up now with verse 16. "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." Shun profane and vain babblings. The word profane there in the Greek simply means people who are heathenish, people who are wicked, wicked persons, profane and vain. The word vain means empty, fruitless discussion. It's the same as babbling, empty, fruitless discussion. So Paul telling Timothy, shun empty, fruitless discussions that do not magnify the Lord and glorify the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the word shun there simply means stay away from, avoid, stay aloof, stay away from these people, because profane and vain, fruitless discussions bring about and increase ungodliness. Notice what he said in verse 16. "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." You see, we have people who are determined to babble out false doctrine. And the more false babble and profane and vain babblings only increases, Paul said, more ungodliness. Paul asked the church at Rome. That he shares that God's grace covers a multitude of sins. So they said, well, we're going to sin more, that grace might abound much more. He said, God forbid. God forbid that you sin more so that the grace of God might abound more. And so here Paul is telling us that these profane and vain babblings, they will increase unto more ungodliness, more sinfulness, more wickedness, more departing from the word of Almighty God. Then he gives us an example in verse 17. And their word, these vain babblers, these profane babblers that espouse and spew out their vain, fruitless, worthless doctrines, he says, their word or their doctrines will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. Now I want you to realize what he said. False doctrine is like a canker. Now the word canker there in verse 17 is simply gangrene. If a man, his body has any type of gangrene in it, and that gangrene is not removed, it will ultimately kill that person without a doubt. That's what false doctrine does. It kills the soul and the spirit of men. It destroys the integrity of the true word of God because they mix leaven, they mix sin, they mix wickedness within the word of God, and thus it becomes polluted. That's the trouble with the modern church today. See, the Bible says that Jesus, or God the Father, in the wilderness, in Hebrews 3:17, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter in his rest, but to them that believed not? Those that believed not could not enter into his rest. Now, it's very powerful what Paul opens up Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 with. Let us, therefore, fear. I always tell you the word therefore means as the results of. As the results of those Israelites not able to go into the promised land because of unbelief. Paul then begins Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Let us, therefore, fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto them was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. I want to share those two verses again. Hebrews 4, verses 1 and 2. Let us, you and I, you listeners today, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. That tells me you can come short of the blessings of God, because Paul says that clearly here. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You have to put your faith in the word of God. Throughout the Old Testament, we find the phrase, thus saith the Lord. Why? Because Israel no longer wanted to hear the voice of God like they did at Mount Sinai. It rent their garment of their heart. It rent the garment of their heart. And thus they were so distraught at the convicting power of God when he spoke. They thus said, Moses, we don't want to hear from God anymore. So let God tell you what we need to hear, and then You tell us. You tell us whatever God says. And so that began the system of God calling, ordaining, appointing, and anointing messengers. And from thenceforth you would hear messengers, whether it's Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, thus saith the Lord. And they would begin to speak in behalf of God. So we see that in Ezekiel 3:17. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. And thus the prophets would say, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. What were they saying? They were saying, they were conveying the word that God had given them, and they would take it to the people of God and say, thus saith the Lord. Regretfully, when I preach, I may not say, thus saith the Lord. But when I preach the word of God, I am saying, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Now people say, well, you can't backslide, you can't lose out with God. How do you overthrow somebody's faith? Paul tells us. They promote profane and vain babblings. And Paul said they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their vain, profane babblings will eat as does gangrene. And he names two men. Now, I know people say, well, you should never call anybody's name on the radio that's preaching or teaching false doctrine. Well, we have a record here where Paul identified Hymenaeus and Philetus. He was identifying these men who were teaching wicked doctrine. What were they teaching? They were teaching that the resurrection is already past. Already past. And they overthrow the faith of some. You see, that's what's happening in retrospect in the church today. People are being made shipwreck. They're being made shipwreck because they're listening to men who espouse nothing but rhetorical jargon, profane and vain babblings, which are fruitless, which are worthless, and we are warned in verse 16, but shun them. Stay away from those men. Now, it's evident to me, according to the word of God, that Hymenaeus had some type of preeminence in the church. You see, these men, when they get a little bit of preeminence, they begin to use it in a negative way. Paul identified this man also in 1 Timothy. If you look in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18, 19, and 20, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Now, we don't have any true records, or I should say any records, the word of God is true, we don't have any record of Philetus. But we do have record of Hymenaeus. We also have record of Alexander the coppersmith. Now, you've got to understand these men. These men were all about distorting the truth of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, Paul also addresses Alexander himself. 2 Timothy 4:14, Alexander the coppersmith, did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Now, I fight that all the time. People greatly withstand the word of God that I preach. I don't ask you to believe anything that David Lankford thinks or he perceives or whatever. I ask you to embrace the totality of the word of God. I sometimes wish I didn't even have a name. I wish I didn't have an identity so that they couldn't say, well, David Lankford said this or David Lankford said that. Got an email today that if Joe and Doug Hagman were such great investigators, why don't they investigate the misdeeds of Pastor Lankford? Well, sir, I'll pay you the money to pay Joe and Doug Hagman to investigate my personal life and my ministry and find any misdeeds. And if not, you give me my money back that you pay them to do the investigation. But see, he withstands our words because I did the program with them, Sheila Zelensky Saturday night on the heresy of pre-tribulation rapture. So now they start throwing stones and they also made accusation against Joe and Doug. Now, this is what happens. And this is why Paul identified these men, Hymenaeus, Philetus, Alexander the coppersmith, in 3 John verse 9, John identified a man called Diotrephes. He said Diotrephes, he loved to have preeminence among the people. You see, that's what this is all about. See, preeminence among the people. And he said, 3 John verse 9, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us, as with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. See, the church has always fought sinister, vile, and wicked men from within. Even Judas Iscariot, he was the elect. You can't get any more elect than the 12 apostles. Jesus Christ handpicked those men after he prayed all night long. I don't know how much time God spent in calling me into the ministry, but I've not been called to be an apostle. I'm a minister, I'm a pastor, and because I'm a pastor, I do the work of an evangelist. See, I do the work of an evangelist. That's really my heart, and that's scriptural. 2 Timothy 4, verse 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. This is Paul telling Timothy, a pastor, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. That's what we try to do here at the Voice of Evangelism. We try to preach a totally uncompromised message from the Word of God so the people of God can hear nothing but the truth and be able to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, there are those in the church that wreak havoc because they say, I am a Christian. I'm going to take a little bit of time for just a moment here because there are those who seek to mislead the people of God, and for that, they are evil. Now, Paul identifies Hymenaeus and Philetus in 2 Timothy 2. In 1 Timothy 1, he identifies Hymenaeus and Alexander the coppersmith. 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul identifies Alexander the coppersmith and said, he did me much evil. Well, why is this taking place? Well, we've got to go to the book of Acts. Acts of the Apostles. Acts chapter 19, beginning at verse 23. And the same time there arose no small stir about that way. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen. Oh, see, it's all about money. Brought no small gain. It wasn't a small gain, it was a large gain. Whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation. Listen to the words I'm giving you now. Verse 25. Whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation. They were making small idols. And said, sirs, we know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul the Apostle, hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands, so that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath, and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. Now this is dealing with the church at Ephesus. And the whole city was filled with confusion, and having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing, some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. Here's the man. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward, and Alexander beckoned with the hand, and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice about the space of 2 hours cried, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshipper of the great goddess Diana, and of the image which fell down from Jupiter? I'm going to stop right there. Paul is attacking their false gods and their false doctrine. They're making money. I think about Tim LaHaye. All the money that's been made on the Left Behind series. Solomon was so precise when he said, there is nothing new under the sun. Think about that, folks. Think about what I just said. And so they collectively aggregate themselves together. Notice what we read in here in Acts 19:25. For he called together Demetrius, the workman of like occupation, and said, sirs, we know that by this craft we have our wealth. You see, that's why a man like myself, that is a post-tribulationist, I'm never invited to the pre-tribulationist prophecy conferences. Why? Because I will hinder their ability to make money in telling people the honest-to-God truth. See? They don't want me there. They don't want the truth there. Why? They're making a boatload of money. And what is so tragic about this? They write all these books. Somebody told me now Nicolas Cage, the Hollywood actor, is going to be in one of the movies now, the Left Behind series. They make all of this money about things that are going to happen in the future, but none of it is applicable to them. It doesn't pertain to them. Why? Because they're out of here. But yet they sell these books, DVDs, videos, now movies in Hollywood. And by the way, to be yoked up with Hollywood is a raunchy, rancid, randy sin. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? You'll find that in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 17. You see, true messengers of God who preach the true word of God are a threat to the hirelings and the hucksters. And I can hear some say, well, Pastor Lankford, you've written some books. Yes, sir. The ones God has inspired me and anointed me, and read them. You'll find literally hundreds upon hundreds of Bible verses in my books. Hundreds. Not just scores, but hundreds. Why? I want you to know nothing but the truth. Nothing. I don't have an agenda. I'm not trying to shake anybody down. It's amazing. It's amazing how men make money off of books, videos, CDs, and movies, and they preach something that they say, well, none of that is applicable to us. We're not going to be here. Well, why bother to sell books then? It's because heresy sells. Lies sell. Lies sell. Heresy sells. I said a few weeks ago, I forget the topic of the program, but I said no matter how fantastic, no matter how fanatical, no matter how fraudulent doctrine or the teaching might be, there's never a lack of followers. Somebody will always follow it. Yes, they will. Yes, they will. Why? Because it appeals to their fleshly nature and side. It appeals to their humanity. God's Word and the Holy Ghost appeals for your soul and your spirit. Sometimes the Holy Ghost will cut you. He'll cut you deep to rid your life of sin, to rid your life of error, to rid your life of false doctrine. He will cut you. But the same cut, the same sword that cut you is the same sword that will also heal you and bring deliverance into your body. So we see Alexander the coppersmith was part of the men of that same trade who made small shrines and idols of Diana in Ephesus. This is nothing new. It goes on to this day, selling oil, selling water on television. These men are mere hucksters. They are charlatans. That is not the Holy Ghost. The only thing that I've ever read in the scriptures was where Paul, they brought handkerchiefs and they brought aprons and they asked Paul to anoint them with oil and to take them back and place them on somebody's afflicted body and believe God for healing. See? But these other men are hucksters. See, let me share that with you so that you don't misunderstand. Acts chapter 19, verse 11, and God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. That's the only record. And by the way, they weren't for sale. I have prayer cloths here. We've anointed them and mailed them to many people throughout our ministry. We don't ask for anything for that. There have been times my wife and I will take that piece of cloth right here in the office, pour oil on it, lay our hands on it, and pray over it, and send it to the person and tell them to put it on their body, put it in their pillowcase, put it under the mattress, especially lost people who they want to see saved. It's a point of contact, a point of faith. And that's in the scriptures. But selling water? Selling snake oil? Oh, it's unbelievable. It's a gimmick. Chicanery. Fruitless, profane, vain babblings. Now, what was the false doctrine of Hymenaeus and Philetus? Well, they said the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. How do you overthrow somebody's faith if they're not saved? Well, sure, they're saved. That's how they have faith. I have faith. I'm a saved man. Because I try to immerse my mind constantly in the scriptures, it helps me to not fall into error. We all have the tendency, the propensity to slide or to drift or whatever the case might be. We've got to know, we've got to get back to the scriptures. We've got to get back to the infallible, immutable word of Almighty God. Now, he said, concerning the truth, have what? Erred. I shared with you yesterday, 2 Timothy 3, 16-17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. We forgot that the scriptures correct error for correction. God's word has corrected me many, many, many times. Why? I want to be corrected when I'm wrong. Their error was, they said, the resurrection's already passed. Now see, if that was still being preached today, and some do preach that, where's my loved ones? Where's your loved ones that have died in Christ? Where are they today? That itself alone demonstrates that the resurrection of the righteous dead has never yet taken place. We're waiting for that. So Jesus said in Matthew 22:29, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. And because of this false doctrine, because of this biblical error, they overthrew or they overturned the faith of many. Yet, people continue to follow these hirelings. I'm honest. I never fail to be amazed at how people keep following these hucksters. The Word of God, of course, you'll never hear modern preachers preach the things I preach because it's not popular preaching, but it's the Word of God nevertheless. I want to look at Titus chapter 1, beginning at verse 10. For there are many unruly, and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient. And unto every good work they are what? They are reprobate. Now, let's look at that for just a moment. Unruly. There are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. That's a mouthful. Unruly. We're told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, warn them that are unruly. As a minister, it's my responsibility to warn men. I wrote a minister a letter last week. That's all I'm going to say. I wrote him a letter. I rebuked him in love, but I said, you're wrong. I don't make it a point of doing that, but when you violate the scriptures, you must hear the truth so that you won't violate them again. There are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Now, who is the circumcision? That's people who continue to espouse the law, telling them you got to be circumcised to be saved. This is what we witness today. We have people who are telling you, you can't eat this, you can't eat that, you got to keep the Sabbath, you got to do this, You see, they are of the circumcision. What did Paul say about those of the circumcision? Verse 11, whose mouths must be stopped. They must be stopped. Why? Because they're teaching and preaching false doctrine. What are they? They're deceivers. And because they are deceivers, they subvert whole houses. Now that's synonymous with what we read yesterday in our scripture text in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. They're trying to subvert the hearer. Paul has to say the same thing as he writes this epistle to Titus. See, what's their ambition? What's their purpose? He said, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert, they destroy whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. They do it for money, folks. They teach false doctrine for money. One of them, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Now, I was going to take you to the book of Acts today and show you here the synchronicity in what Paul is telling us here in the book of Titus as to what happened on the day of Pentecost. I'll cut this very short and very brief because it would be very timely and lengthy. But in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, we know there was the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Verse 11 says, the Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. The Cretes and the Arabians were speaking in Hebrew. And that's why the disciples knew what they were saying, because they were speaking in their native tongue. But it was not native to the Cretans. So that tells me something. We understand there are gifts of the Spirit. And so there were those at Pentecost who received the Holy Ghost, and they went home. And they began to establish true doctrine in their churches. And then so here in verse 12 of Titus 1, verse 12, Paul says, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. So somebody there knew the truth and identified these men as to what they were, liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. Paul says, this witness is true. Paul got the same unction from the Holy Ghost, what the prophet said was true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. You see, people don't like to be rebuked. They don't want to be told they're wrong, so they rise up against you, and they slander you, and they speak evil of you. Well, that doesn't bother me, because my Bible says in Luke 6:26, woe unto you, when all men shall speak well of you. So I always have enough people that are accusing me, like the one person, my misdeeds. Hey, pull a police record. Pull up whatever you want to pull up on me. It doesn't bother me. That's nonsense. Now, before I was saved, you might find a police record. Yes, you might very well find. You will find one. I'll just go ahead and say you'll find one. I had a DUI when I was 20 years old. Got locked up, got put in jail, took my mugshot. I'll just be honest with you. But let's go after my conversion. Let's go after June the 6th, 1978. There's no more police records. Never been locked up again. None of that silly stuff. But that's what sin does to people. I'm ashamed of it. Yes, I am. Very much ashamed of it. But I'm just telling you the truth, like Paul. He understood who he was. He said, I was the chiefest when it comes to sinners. But you see, God told me years ago, forget the past. Embrace the present. I'll take care of your future. And I've tried to do that. So Paul says here to Titus, this witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men, that turn from the truth. You see, men are always looking for something to justify their evil deeds. Jesus understood that completely. Now, how do we know we understood that completely? In Matthew chapter 15, verse 8 and 9, Jesus said these words, "This people draweth nigh to me with their mouth, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." That's what people want to embrace, doctrine and commandments of men. Nowhere does the scripture tell a man he cannot lose his salvation. Men have made that up. Nowhere does the scripture say that there's a pre-tribulation rapture, but they still espouse that. Nowhere does the scripture say be baptized in Jesus' name only. My account, according to what Jesus said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells me nowhere to pray to Mary. The Bible tells me nowhere there's a co-redeemer. Nowhere does the Bible ever tell me to pray to deceased people. Nowhere. Nowhere. So why do we do it? We're teaching for the doctrines and the commandments of men. That's where that comes from. Those are the teachings. Those are the commandments of men. Not God, but of men. This is the trouble with the church today. Well, this theologian said this, or that theologian said that, or this one said this, and this one said that. What does the Word of God say, folks? That's what you must embrace. That's what you must look to. Not me. You must look solely to the Scriptures. The Scriptures are where the truth is. I just realized we've been disconnected from WWCR. I certainly regret that for those who are listening on shortwave. Of course, you can't hear me tell you that right now, but that's what's happened. And it doesn't surprise me. Anytime you really begin to preach the Word of God, you will have the devil do what he can to disrupt the truth from going out and ministering to the people of God. But I must continue on here because we're also simulcasting on Blog Talk Radio. Okay, I want to go back to verse 18 in our scripture text in 2 Timothy 2 and 18. "Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some." Verse 19, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." That, my friend, is powerful. Why? The foundation of God stands sure because it stands on the Word of God. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Why? Because it is the Word of God. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Psalms 89, verse 34, the psalmist declared, "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the things that have gone forth from my lips." God cannot, God will not alter his word. Psalms 119, verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Now, this is very key, what I'm going to share with you. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his." That is significant. Why? We're told in Ephesians 1 and 13, "In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." After that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit seal us. Now, nobody can break that seal but you. God won't break it. The devil can't break it, but you can break it. You can break it by walking away from God and follow him no more. We know that in John chapter 6. After Jesus began to tell them, you must eat my flesh, you must drink my blood, many of his disciples, it says, turned and followed him no more. And he looked at his disciples and said, will you also go away? You see, it's a normal thing when God begins to deal with people with a heavy word, they get offended. They turn away. That's why he told Timothy, or Paul told Timothy, preach the word. God's word sometimes is heavy. And Paul said the time would come they would not endure sound doctrine. See, people don't want to endure sound doctrine. When you give them the Bible verses, you give them the location, the chapter, the book, the chapter, the verse, and they say, I still don't believe it. They're not willing to endure sound doctrine. So the Word of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until that day of redemption. You are sealed by the Spirit of God. Yet there are those who choose to walk away and break the seal in disobedience. Did you know Adam and Eve were sealed? They were sealed by the Spirit of God. They too were sealed. But God always gives man his free moral agency. See, God wouldn't be a just God if he made men serve him. That's what Pharaoh did to Egypt, Israelites in Egypt. He made them serve him. He made them. God will not make you serve him. He wants you to serve him because you love him. He wants you to be faithful because you love him. He wants you to endure because you love him. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's true, genuine love. So, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Folks, if you say you're a Christian, stay away from sin. Don't be like the gentleman said the other day to me. Oh, when I wake up, I start sinning. God has to have an eraser by 12 o'clock, a new eraser by 12 o'clock to mark out my sins. That's foolishness. That's nonsense. Now, that's somebody who's not even trying to contend for the faith. They're not even striving to enter into the kingdom of God. And that'll be the kind who says, have we not prophesied in your name? We not cast out devils in your name? And didn't many wondrous works your name? He'll say, depart from me, I know you not. Why? They live in habitual sin. Christians are to depart from iniquity. That's what the Bible tells me here. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You got to depart from sin. Yet they rather embrace sin. Iniquity simply means something that's morally wrong about a person, about their character, their way of life, or their deeds or actions. You are to depart from things that are morally wrong, that hinder your character, that hinder your life, that hinder your actions. You're to abandon those things. See, we're told, Paul, as he's writing his epistle to the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 21 and 20, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil. If the appearance is mere evil, stay away from it. See, we've compromised so much. Now, as I said, you're not going to hear Joy Osteen preach any of the scriptures I've shared with you the last 2 days. He'll never share one of them. Not one. Why? Because what I'm preaching is not popular. It doesn't make you feel good. See? You see, we've become so corrupt. That's the only way I can define it. We don't want the truth. You know, we don't want to hear the pure, unadulterated word of God. We just don't want to hear it. Because, like the disciples in John 6, they said about Jesus, this is a hard saying. This is hard. Why is it hard? The love is not there. Now remember, Jesus is talking in John 6, for you must eat my flesh, you must drink my blood, and you'll have eternal life, and I will raise you up at the last day. And then in verse 60, John 6, verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Who can do it? This is hard. The Bible tells us that Jesus knew in himself that his disciples, the 12 apostles, they murmured at it. He said unto them, doth this offend you? Doth this statement offend you? Does what I preach offend you? Does it bother you? Do you get upset when I preach where you're living because I'm preaching the Word of God? Or I'm in disagreement with your heresy, your false doctrine, and I try to share with you the truth? And you say, well, I'm going to side with so-and-so. That's your problem. You're not siding with the Word of God. You're siding with a man. And all men are fallible. All men are fallible. Yes, they are. I am. That's why I try to stay away from what I think. What does the Word of God say? Why? Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's Word will not pass away. It is absolutely impossible. It is absolutely impossible for the Word of God to pass away because the Word of God is eternal. God is eternal, and he gave us his eternal Word. It cannot pass away. It cannot fail. God is bound by his own Word. Think of that. God is bound by his own Word. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. That was a prophecy that is yet to be fulfilled in Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. What you see now as a world, after the return of Christ and the thousand-year millennial reign of Christ, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And in that new earth, there will be no more sea. There will be no more bodies of water like the Atlantic or the Pacific or the Indian Ocean. That won't exist anymore. I believe that. Well, you know, preacher, that's a little bit far-fetched. No, I believe it because God said it. I believe it because that's what the Word of God tells me. That's not what a man told me. That's what God told me. Now, I know my time is all but gone. But my friend, you're witnessing a perpetual attack on the Word of God. Just this past week, here in North Carolina, that federal district judge struck down the marriage amendment here in North Carolina that marriage was between one man and one woman. Said, no, sir, unconstitutional. One man struck it down when the majority of the state voted and said, no, marriage is between a man and a woman. And the reason I'm telling you that is because I want you to know we're not where most people think we're at. This thing is going to get a whole lot worse than what it is now. You think this country's in bad shape? You wait. You wait. All of the lawlessness, it seems as though all the lawless people, all the sinful, vile, and wicked people, they get their way. And they do. Because our leadership and our ministers and ministries are becoming more vile and wicked by the day. And all the pre-tribbers are telling everybody, oh, yeah, we're going to get out of here. We're going to get out of here. We're going to get out of here. A woman emailed me yesterday, told me how deceived I was, that God's going to sound the trump. No, it is God's trump, but the angel sounds it because that's what the Bible says. But see, she wants to pick a fight because she believes in a pre-trib rapture. So I'm in error. The scriptures are clear. When the angel sounded, the trump, I mean, how am I supposed to take that? Revelation 10:7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound what? The trump. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven. It's God's trump, ma'am, but the angel sounds it. I believe God has enough authority to give a trumpet to an angel and say, you blow this trump when I tell you, and only when I'm ready do you blow it. It's the trump of God. It's like in a battle. The king didn't blow the trump. He told them when to blow the trump to go to battle. But anyway, in closing, I'll finish this up Monday. I didn't think I could get it done in 2 days, but I'll finish it up Monday, Lord willing. But here's the secret. It's going to get worse. You're going to see more and more vile, wicked, salacious pronouncements. But as it gets more worse, the light of Jesus Christ will get more brighter. The greater the darkness, the brighter the light. And you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be persecuted to no end. And regretfully, some of the greatest, most arduous, and difficult persecution is going to come from the so-called church. I get it every week. I get it every week. Hate mail, hate letters, hate phone calls. Why? They don't like the truth because the truth bothers them. Do you think Hymenaeus and Philetus embraced Paul the Apostle? I don't think so. I'll see you Monday in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism, P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006. That's P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006.